Well, we've been moving through the Lord's Prayer series, and we started by understanding our approach to prayer, understanding that it begins with our heart set right before God and then our minds engaged, and then it moves from that place into a right addressing of who we are praying to, our Father in heaven. And we understood that our Father means that we understand the gospel. If we can call God our Father, then Jesus is our Savior. That's the only way we can rightfully call God our Father. And then we reminded ourselves that when we say our Father, He is not simply our Father, He is our God. He is in heaven, in heaven. And then last week, we walked into this concept of the first and most sweeping and global request in all of prayer. Hallowed be your name. Father, make your name hallowed, set apart, sanctified on earth as it is in heaven. Make all of who you are that desirable, that treasured in the hearts and minds of all of the people on the earth as it is rightfully done and held in heaven. And so then we move this morning on forward in our text in verse 9, Matthew chapter 6, verse 9. Pray then like this, Jesus teaching his followers, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And we said last week that we're actually moving through these three first and sweeping requests that deal with our walk and our stance before God, and they come with his priority before we get to our priority, right? So your name last week, all that that means. This week, your kingdom. Bring your kingdom, Lord. And next week, your will. We're going to be looking and unfolding some of what that means, to pray for his will to be done. Why would we ever need to pray that? We're going to be asking next week. Your kingdom come, though. This request last week spoke of God's person, your name. This request, the kingdom, speaks of God's plan, okay? So, last week, God's person. Lord, make who you are sanctified, holy, set apart in the minds of those on earth. And this week, your plan, your plan. So the words come to us, and Jesus assumes some things about our understanding of the concept of kingdom. Your kingdom come means that we need to understand, well, what is it that we're praying? We know we're not supposed to use empty words. And yet, when we ask this of God, what do we mean? What do we mean when we say, your kingdom come? Well, there's a few things that can be said, but first, we need to ask the question, what is a kingdom? I mean, the most basic question, we're Americans. We don't live in Great Britain or England. We don't have a king. We don't have a queen. We don't live under this kind of government. And so for us, outside of reading the scriptures and maybe watching the news from overseas, we don't have a real sense of what it means to live in a kingdom. Someone answered the other day when I asked this question, well, a kingdom is you got to have a king if you're going to have a kingdom. Right. A sovereign, someone who rules or is in charge over a territory or a group of people. Two words you might jot down on your notes. You might notice your notes this week, I went with less is more on there, partly because I was sick earlier in the week and I was trying to catch up. So you're going to have to take a lot of notes to fill in this morning. Two words to put down, rule and reign. Rule and reign. When you think of the concept of kingdom, think these words, the rule and the reign of a sovereign, of one who is in dominance over another or a group. Rule and reign. So, your kingdom come is maybe another way to make the request would be, bring your rule and reign on earth as it is in heaven. So, Father God. And when we say Father, we understand that He is God. And we see Jesus as Savior. So, these things are in view. You can't separate any of this stuff out. Jesus is in view. He is the Savior. God is the Father. He is God. And we say, in heaven, this is right. In heaven, the rule and reign that is yours is right. It's the way it needs to be. It's the way it should be. But on earth, it's not. So there's a request then that comes. Lord, bring your rule and reign to this earth, as is right, as would be right for you who are God. Okay. The thing is, though, there's a tension at work. And I'm going to give you a couple of words that, boy, if you're in Romans class, you're going to see these words come up. If you're in stewardship class, you're going to... If you're a Christian, these words need to be a category in your mind, okay? The already and the not yet, okay? Two categories to think in. There is the already, and then there is the not yet, okay? So, what we're going to do this morning is we're going to look at the concept of kingdom and then break it into these two categories. The kingdom already and the kingdom not yet, okay? So come with me on the already. This is going to be fun. You're going to have fun Sunday conversations talking in the already and the not yet. It gets really fun. Okay, here's John the Baptist. Matthew, very early chapters of Matthew. In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea. What did he preach? Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It's at hand. The preaching of John the Baptist, the baptism of John the Baptist, the repentance he preached was anticipatory to the coming of the kingdom. Okay? Now, just a short amount later, this is the essence of John's message. The kingdom is near. The kingdom is coming, it's close, it's at hand, it's near. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Here comes Jesus. The chapter after we introduced John, here comes Jesus, and Jesus is baptized by John, and basically it inaugurates the ministry of Jesus. And after temptation in the wilderness, Jesus begins to preach the same thing that John preached. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It's close. It's near. So what we need to be asking as we see the New Testament unfolding right from the get-go is what does it mean? It's near. In what way was the kingdom of God, or the kingdom of heaven, at hand or close? Well, Jesus came to be king. That's the easy answer for that. The reason it's close, the reason it's at hand, is because the king is on the move. The king has come. The incarnation, all of the miracle birth of Jesus, the divine invasion of God in the form of a man, here he is. The king is on the planet, and he is on the move. And so, repent, for the kingdom is close. The people who interacted with Jesus had no clue how close it really was. How many times did those people think only the small, tiny political sense of kingdom? They thought politics, and Jesus was talking about something far bigger than any national agenda or political leader. Jesus came to be the king over all. So we see this unfold then as Jesus' ministry comes to a close and he draws towards the cross. Pilate said to Jesus, "So you are a king?" Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. For this purpose I was born, and for this purpose I have come into the world, to bear witness to the truth. And everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice." This is a fascinating thing to consider. Pilate's trying to figure out, everyone's talking about how you're some kind of king. Tell me about this, Jesus. And Jesus has just finished saying this in the earlier verse. Pilate, my kingdom is not of this world. It's bigger than what you're thinking. I'm not a political king. You don't see this. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would have been fighting. You know, Peter and all the zealots with the short swords hidden, ready to overthrow the Romans. That's not what he was here to do. It's not what this is about. But my kingdom is not from this world. Is Jesus a king? Yes, he is a king. Does he have a kingdom? Yes, he has a kingdom. Is it near? Is it close? Is it at hand? Absolutely, it is at hand. This lives in the already. Okay? these things have happened. This is part of the already. The kingdom of God is already at hand. Okay? So, one thing we can see in this is that Jesus is a king. Not only is he a king, he is the king. Jesus is the king. One of the things you see in this prayer, Lord, let your kingdom come, is we're not fuzzy on who the king is. We're praying to our Father in heaven. The only way we could rightfully address him as Father is through his Son Jesus, who happens to be the king of the kingdom we request on earth as it is in heaven. Okay? So, this is a bit of a journey, but track with me here. We have a king. His name is Jesus. He is the king. And we dream, we long for his kingdom to come. So, look at this. Philippians 2, being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has, past tense, he has, this is the already kingdom, he has exalted him highly and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. So, kingdom already, king already, absolutely. We have a king. He came to be king. He was murdered and he rose from the dead. He conquered and is enthroned. He sits on high. He is the king. There is a kingdom. We have it if we have him. So, our king has already come. If that is the case, why do we request the kingdom to come? What is it that we're requesting in this prayer? Well, he has delivered us, past tense, he has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. So what we're not praying is that we are saved in this. This is past tense. He has already done this. We have been transferred from the kingdom of the world into the kingdom of his Son through redemption, through faith in Jesus. We have a king already. We're in the kingdom already. Okay? So we're living in the already, and we're praying about the not yet. See how this comes together. You are no longer strangers, aliens, fellow citizens with the saints, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. Citizens, literally, we are called citizens of heaven. Called out as citizens of heaven. Through the king who purchased from death, from the dead and from all of our sins, our freedom, he purchased citizenship for us. So we are in his kingdom, he is our king, and we are citizens of the kingdom of heaven. A fascinating thing to think about as we live as resident aliens on this earth. Paul writes, I've often told you before, now and say again with tears, many live as enemies of the cross, their destiny is destruction, their God is their stomach, and their glory is their shame, their mind is on earthly things, but you, your citizenship is in heaven. Okay? So, this is so huge for us. These two categories. Think of it like this. We have been set free. And we will be set free. We once were slaves and were free, but not completely. We will be set free completely. We have a king and we will have a king. You see how this comes together? We have been saved and we will be fully established in his kingdom. We have a king and a kingdom. We will have a king and a kingdom. The already and the not yet. So this prayer, when we pray for the kingdom to come, is a celebration of the already and a longing for the not yet. Okay? It really is a beautiful thing how it pulls all of the scripture together. It really pulls the scriptures all together, and that's one of the reasons I believe Jesus prays this as a priority. Bring your kingdom on this earth, Lord. The one we know, the one we're a part of. Establish it here. So let's talk a little about the not yet. We have a king. We don't yet have a king. In a sense, the not yet reminds us that there's more to come. There is more to come. This is one of my favorite verses from the book of Revelation. Then the seventh angel blew his trumpet, and there were loud voices in heaven saying, now listen close, the kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ. And what does it look like? He shall reign forever and ever. That's the not yet. That's the not yet. The kingdom of the world, there will be a day. The book of Revelation, actually many scriptures, old and new, promise that there will be a day where the kingdom of heaven will land forcibly and finally on this earth, and there will be a rule and reign never in doubt. And to the fullest extent, these things will happen. Christ, the King, will reign forever and ever. So we long for that in our prayers. We long for that day to come in all that we pray. King Jesus will come again. He has come, and he will come. You see? So in our prayer, thank you that you've come. Come again, Lord. Come back. Thank you for the kingdom. Bring your kingdom. Oh, Lord, bring your kingdom. Okay? This is in our statement of faith, Good Shepherd Community Church. We believe in that blessed hope, the personal, imminent coming of the Lord Jesus Christ for his redeemed ones, and in his subsequent return to earth with his saints to establish his millennial kingdom. Kingdom. The blessed hope is that while we live in the already, we long for the not yet. It gives us courage. It gives us perspective. It gives us endurance to live in the already as we wait for the not yet. But the not yet's coming. And it's going to be a glorious day. The rapture, the return, the millennial kingdom, all of these things promised, they will come to pass. This is the future for those who have the blessed hope. We live with a happy hope in the already as we anticipate the arrival of the not yet. It's a fun thing to work around in your mind. We're called to pray this. We're called to pray this way. Keeping this in view, this not yet is a longing for us. Revelation 21, what a glorious part of Scripture. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the dwelling of God, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them. He will be here. He will dwell with us. The King on a throne, on earth, he will be with them. They will be his people. God himself will be with them as their God, King. He will do what? He will wipe every tear from their eyes. Death shall be no more. Cancer will be no more. Suffering, heartache, loss will be no more. Neither will there be mourning nor crying nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. There will be a day as we live in the already, we long for the not yet. He will rule and reign on this earth. Man, all of the things we dreamed of in King David fell short. When the people said to Samuel, we want a king, and God says, I am your king. And they said, not good enough. Our neighbors, our enemies, they can't see you. We need a king who we can show them and that they can fear. And God, in his right anger, said, fine, I'll give you a king, King Saul. They went to put him in office. Where was he? He was hiding in the baskets. There's your king. You want a king? Look at how it turned out. All of the hopes of that perfect king and leader, even Obama, they all fall short, don't they? Right? Show me the perfect man to rule in a perfect kingdom, and I will show you a sinful man who needs a righteous king. all of our human attempts fall short, and they all anticipate the not yet. Someday. Oh, someday. There will be a king who is perfect on a throne. So, our cry, Lord, bring your kingdom. Bring your kingdom in our prayer. Jesus puts this in our prayers. You need, when you pray, to be thinking about the not yet as you celebrate the already. Establish, Lord, your rule and reign. Establish it here on this earth. And specifically, bring your kingdom and write this down and begin in me. Work it in me. Rule and reign in my heart more and more. Be my king to a greater degree. Don't let up, Lord. I want to live under your rule and your reign. I want to be the man you made me to be, the woman you made me to be on this earth right now. Bring your kingdom and start with me. Haddon Robinson says, we dare not pray for his rule over others unless we honestly desire his rule over us. Over us. Be my king. King Jesus, you're my king already. Now, be my king. More. More today than yesterday. More next week than this week. Let me live joyfully under your rule and reign. What do we do while we wait, though? That's our cry. That's our cry. We're called by Jesus to long for the not yet, but we're in this in-between. We have the already, but we don't have the not yet, so what are we to do? Some have suggested we just wait around for the good stuff. Maybe we group up and we just get comfortable with the people who are worshiping the same king that we are, and then we just wait for our king to come back. Maybe we should just isolate and go to Michigan and buy a lake and make it a Christian lake. It's real. It happens. It exists. I don't understand it, but it's there. This is a Christian lake. Sorry, you can't ski on this lake. This is for Christians. Okay? Maybe we should just wait around. Maybe we should just twiddle our fingers. Maybe we should just sing kumbaya until the king returns. Is that what the king wants from his people? No, but you don't understand. I got the ticket for the train. It's good. Let the world burn. Not interested. I'm going to be in the kingdom. There's more. Our calling. I would sum this up with two words, show and tell. Ethan was doing this week. He had Legos thing that he made, and he took it to show and tell. And he was rehearsing it with us so he could tell his class all about his Legos and what he did and how he made it and the story. Show and tell. This is what kingdom people do. They show and they tell. Number one, Matthew 25, 31 to 40. Let me just read this passage for you. Number one, we show. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, that would be the king, and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his throne. The king will sit on his throne. Before him will be gathered all nations, and he will separate people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will place the sheep over here on his right, and the goats will be placed over here on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed. You who are blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom, listen close, prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Kick that around in your small group. That's a fun one. Inherit the kingdom. This is the not yet. Prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Why? For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. And the righteous will say, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you? When did we see you thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and welcome you, naked and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and visit you? Response? the king, I love this, the king will answer them. Truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers, you did it to me. Oh, that just runs shivers down my spine. Show the king to the world. Show them who is king. How do you do this? You help people. You feed the hungry, and you clothe the naked, and you give water to the thirsty. You go and you love. They will know you are my disciples if you have love for one another. So we show. We show them the king. Specifically, the church is called the body of Christ. You want to see the king? Look at the church, and you should see the king. Look at the church and the way they love each other, the way they care for the needy, the way they move to meet needs, and the way they love people who might be unlovely. That's the king. That's the king. So we show them the king. And number two, the Great Commission. We tell. Jesus came and said, I am king. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. I am the king. You go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations. Of Whatcom County only? No. All the nations, all the ethne, go into all the earth and make disciples of all the nations. And do what? Baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And teach them to observe. Key word, observe. Obey. Submit to. Tuck under the rule and reign. All that I have commanded you. Teach them to live under my rule and reign. Behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. The king does not want his kingdom to be people sitting on their hands waiting for his return. He has called us to cry out, Lord, bring your kingdom. And while we wait, we will be on the move. We will go. We can't sit still. How could we? The king is close. The return is at hand. Citizens of God's kingdom residing in the United States. Just a small little disclaimer for us here. We have two flags in our sanctuary. We must never, ever confuse which one is more important. Ever. There is a flag that flies high above the nations. That is the flag of the kingdom of God. And while we reside as stewards of democracy in this great nation, let us never, ever, ever confuse the fact that we are citizens of heaven, far and above the United States of America. If the church falls into the trap of thinking that we're about politics and being a Republican or a Democrat, we have just missed the whole point of the higher flag, the one that flies above all nations. It doesn't matter if you're a Republican or a Democrat. If you know Jesus, he's your king. You're going to share heaven. We have brothers and sisters who have different voting preferences. We have brothers and sisters who think abortion is a free choice. That is not the issue of the church. The issue of the church is the gospel. That is the primary and most important work of the church. If we ever confuse that, we do offense to the kingdom that we are a part. So a small disclaimer there. Maybe that was more than small. It's so important to not lose sight of this. If you're a Democrat, we welcome you. If you're a Republican, we welcome you. Come and worship the King. Come and worship the King. Our response this morning, just some questions that we have to look at closely. Ask this question: Is Jesus Christ my King? Is he my King? Is he on the throne? And when I consider this, do I live my life tucking under, submitted to his rule and reign? Or am I my king? There is a throne in your life. Who sits on it? It better be King Jesus. I pray that it's King Jesus. And in that, that is part of my dream, my prayer, my longing. Oh Lord, let your kingdom come in our church. Establish your rule and reign here. Are you living under the rule and reign of King Jesus? Where in your life does this request need to be more realized? Lord, deepen my joy in submission to your rule. Sharpen my mind to notice my sin when it flies in the face of what you have commanded. And give me an axe in my own work to put to death the deeds of sin so that there would be joy and submission to your rule and reign. Where in my life do I need to realize this request more? When I pray, do I long to see this, the not yet? Or am I so wrapped up in living in this work, this here and the now, that the kingdom of this earth starts to distract me and I start to build up things in this life that I think are kind of important and stuff becomes a bit of a kingdom. I start to store up for myself treasures on this earth. This is not the kingdom. Is in everything I pray a dream, a desire, a deep heart longing. Oh, bring your kingdom, Lord. Bring it here to this earth as it is in heaven. How does this request define my life? When I pray this, am I at the level of identity living this out? I am an heir of the kingdom. I am one with Jesus. I will rule with him someday. This is part of me, kingdom, now and to come. How does it shape every prayer? You know, my great-grandma would wake up every morning, and the first words out of her mouth, my mom tells me, this could be the day. This could be the day he comes back. Is it like that? Who is to say that we are not within the hour of his return? Imminent return. What joy can we find in this request while we live in the already? We live over here. We live over here, and sometimes the already is not easy. Jesus did not promise a bed of roses. He didn't say everything's going to go away and all the challenges are going to get easy. He actually promised quite the opposite. He says, some people are going to kill you and think they're doing me a favor. You're going to be persecuted. You're going to suffer. But we're living in the already while we wait for the not yet. How can living in the already be an overflow of joy in the king that we know, that we already have? And what hope can we find in this request while we wait for the not yet? We wait for the not yet. We live in the already. This really is where it lands. Just come, Lord, come. Make things right on this world. Make it right. Come, Lord Jesus. Let your kingdom come. Let's pray. Father God, you have enthroned the King, your Son Jesus. It's only a matter of time when you determine that it's time, and those in the nations have heard, and those who have the King Jesus as their Savior have testified, and you in your patience have allowed that message to go to the ends of the earth. And you will roll back the clouds like a scroll, and you will set your King upon his throne. You will make things right. You will bring justice, and you will bring grace. You will display forever the high and exalted one, our King, who bled and died for sins that we committed. And we, O Lord, will worship at his feet. We will cast our crowns before him and make much of King Jesus. Father, we long for that day, and we understand as we wait for that day, there is a cry in our heart to, oh, Father, come. And at the same time, there is a commission, a calling. We have been specifically called by the same one who taught us to pray this prayer, to go and to speak and to show and to testify of how amazing our King is. And so I pray that that would be true of this church, that we would go, that we would be on the move, not only speaking, but showing the love, meeting the needs, not only meeting the needs, but speaking the gospel, and so that people would be, by your sovereign hand, visited with your salvation in only the way you can do. We love you, Father God, and we thank you for giving us a perfect King to worship forever and to submit to. We pray this in your name and in the name of King Jesus. Amen.